you can almost not feel too much pain. How does that happen? Why can you continue to sort of go through and have ruptured ligaments and almost just not know? Because I feel as if you do something serious, you're going to be like, I'm hobbling for life. Why can you do that?
Well, if the ligament's completely divided and disrupted, often there's not an awful lot of sensation left. So you can have quite an impressive injury, which is agony at the time, feels as if you might have broken your ankle. Then it seems to settle. You get all the swelling and so forth. But as it settles, the ankle's still unstable, but it's not very sore. It's just a bit wobbly. That can settle and be quite deceptive, so you think, well, maybe it's not quite so serious until you do it again.
Hello and welcome to Surgical Goals, the podcast that brings you a unique insight into the world of sport and shines a light on the many injuries picked up along the way from some of the best sports stars throughout their careers and, of course, the recoveries as well. My name is Jennifer Ryuk, and with the help of orthopaedic surgeon Professor Gordon Mackay, we are going to delve into that fascinating side of the sporting world. This week, Gordon and I are flying solo because we're talking about ankle injuries, aren't we?
We are indeed. It might sound trivial because it's so common, but it's significant. It's a big issue.
Yeah, well, I think it's quite good because we've spoken to so many different sporting stars about their injuries. But if people have picked up an injury along the way, ankle is highly likely to maybe have been injured at some point. Hopefully, we can tell them a wee bit about it, what to look out for, and how they can maybe recover.
Yeah, I think it's important that people recognise when it's serious, when it's trivial, and when to seek advice and help. Because it is so prevalent, we do trivialise it, you know. It's an incredibly prevalent injury. It's one of the commonest injuries in sport, is to injure your ankle. And in the US, it's probably 1.5 million ankle sprains or injuries per year. So we're surrounded by it, and therefore we tend to play it down and just trying to manage it. But there's a danger in that.
So hopefully in the next sort of 20 minutes, half an hour or so, we can tell people a wee bit about this injury and how they can maybe get a bit better from it, which is quite exciting because, as you said, most people have injured it at some point and it doesn't need to be high level sport. I mean, I quite often go over my ankle like just coming off a curb. Do you know what I mean? You just sometimes roll an ankle. And is that one of the reasons that it's so common?
Well, the truth is only 50% of these injuries actually happen in sports. So the other 50% happen with day-to-day life, curbs, high heels. Not that I've tried it, but high heels. So it doesn't have to be sports related. But in terms of sport, it is one of the commonest injuries. About 85% are probably what we regard as sprains. Okay. You know, modest injuries that might settle within a couple of weeks. But it still leaves 15% of injuries which we should be taking seriously. When I say taking seriously, it's important that we are not left with an unstable ankle, leaving us vulnerable to injury. And it's also important to exclude much more serious injuries such as fracture or even displacement of your ankle.
Yeah. I just want to ask, why is it so common to hurt your ankle? Is the ankle particularly weak?
You know, certain joints in your body are very stable because they're bony constraints. For example, your hip, you know, you've got a ball and socket. And it's pretty stable, pretty robust. Your ankle has to move to provide the pivoting and dexterity. So in that case, the ankle is not particularly stable in certain positions.
Okay.
And there's relevance to this because when your ankle's in a resting position, if you're standing at attention, the ankle bone, the talus, basically fits between the outer and inner parts of your ankle and engages, and it's quite stable.
Okay.
So if you can imagine, it's as if, what would be a good example?
We're all sitting trying to move an ankle.
Yeah, if you're trying to move your ankle, if you move it up the way, like curling your toes up the way.
Up to the ceiling,
the ankle gets more and more stable as your foot comes up the way.
Okay.
If you imagine you're putting on a normal pair of shoes, then you're putting on high heels. The further down your foot goes, the more unstable it gets. So you're disengaging the joint and you're much more dependent on your ligaments.
Okay.
So often when you really badly damage your ligaments, it's because your ankle's in that position. It's pointing down the way and either rolling under you or rolling out the way. But you're dependent on the ligament support, which is not as robust as the bone.
Okay. So what kind of joint are we dealing with in the ankle then?
Well, the ankle is like a link in the chain. And this is very important as well because there are simple little analogies. In Australia, when I was in Australia doing sports surgery, they insisted that Aussie rules players...
Aussie rules is a wild game, isn't it?
It is a wild game, but they insisted that they strapped their ankles because the ankle injuries were so prevalent.
Okay.
But inevitably, the number of cruciate injuries rocketed up because you're moving links in the chain.
Right.
So the ankle is a very important bridge between the base, obviously the base of your leg, but also the midfoot, and they all move together.
Okay.
So that flexibility leaves you vulnerable.
Right. So you've mentioned strapping there, which is interesting because... Does that help? I feel as if I look sometimes at like a bandage around an ankle and I'm like, is that doing much?
Well, it does. It does initially. It provides a wee bit of a lock to your ankle.
Okay.
But the tendency is once you warm up and once you get sweaty, it stretches. And after 20 minutes, it might not be doing very much at all.
Okay.
Other than giving you a wee bit of feedback. Sometimes just having the skin tugged is enough, like an early warning system that lets you just know that you're about to really do some damage. So it shouldn't be entirely dismissed. And in fact, some of the guidelines from some of the sports medicine bodies suggest that after a really serious ligament injury, you might want to use some light strapping or support for as long as 6 months or more. So it has a place, but you can be overly dependent on it. And most athletes or sports people, not athletes, just those that enjoy sport, don't really want to have to strap their ankle on a regular basis because it just transfers the load somewhere else.
So if you have got an ankle injury, though, where you're feeling a bit weaker, what is good strapping? What actually makes a difference? Because you've seen bandages, you've seen these supports you can buy. Yeah. I've also seen like different tapes as well, physio tapes. Yeah. I know that's maybe not as much ankle-based, but what should you be doing if you're listening now and thinking, my ankle's a bit weak, I'd like an extra support?
Well, I think it's part of the first aid, really. If you have a ligament injury, you roll your ankle and you know it's not too serious, but it's a bit puffy, a wee bit uncomfortable. Say you've been playing netball and you've just caught it a wee bit, and that's, I'm sure that's a common scenario.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Then obviously you want to do the basic first aid. You want to rice, etc. is well known. Rest, ice, compression, elevation.
Ah.
And if it seems worse than usual, then you really, in the other countries they call it RICER, which just means the last R is for referral. So it means you should go and look for help, okay?
I've never heard that before. No. That's brilliant. No, so rice or ricer.
Yeah, rice or ricer. Ricer's
rest,
a wee bit more.
Ice, compression, elevation, and referral.
Referral, yeah.
Go to speak to somebody who knows the
Yeah,
ankle.
Exactly. You're looking at it thinking, this is not right, okay? I need help here. And if you do that, it's much more likely you'll protect your ankle and you'll get a quicker recovery. If you miss something like a wee chip fracture, or more importantly, a little injury to the higher ligament, we often divide ankle ligaments into the ligaments which we commonly tear, are called the lateral ligaments on the outside of your ankle. But just above it, the one that keeps the shin bone, the tib and fib together, is called the syndesmosis. And it's twice as strong as your lateral ligaments.
Okay.
So if you get a high ankle sprain, that's a serious injury. And sometimes we don't differentiate between the two. But if you know the difference, you'll realise that a high ankle sprain will take twice as long to recover, and if it's not assessed properly, can result in permanent disability, ultimately arthritis in your ankle. So there's a transition between that gentle sprain that we're going to lightly strap and a serious injury that might leave you with an arthritic ankle.
How do you know the difference, though? Because I've definitely heard of scenarios where people have hurt their ankle, they've actually torn ligaments, but they've been okay in terms of pain, and they've just carried on and gone, that's still funny months later, gone to see about it, and it's actually been a really quite a serious tear or more than a sprain.
Yeah, I think it's very hard for you to judge and assess yourself, really, in truth, and it's helpful then to see maybe a physiotherapist or someone with experience to independently assess the stability of your ankle. But you tend to, when you've injured your ankle, especially if you've sprained it a few times, you tend to lose the feedback from your ankle, what we call proprioception.
Okay.
So you lose that awareness. It means you don't have an early warning system. It means you might well roll that ankle and then you're actually over on it before you realise, and then you come down with your body weight. Now, when you're running or jumping, it can be 5 times your body weight going through your ankle.
Oof.
So if you're a lump like me, you can do some damage. And I have done some damage in the past, okay? And when I have done, it's never fun. It's that nauseating discomfort. But if you really get the sense that your ankle has crunched badly, and that you're in your own mind, you're thinking, have I broken something? Then you really should get it checked.
Yeah.
Because if you've got bony tenderness and difficulty weight bearing, there is a reasonably high chance there is a bony injury as well. So you should get it assessed independently.
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, I don't think anyone's ever called you a lump. That's hilarious. But also, I think you mentioned there as well, is the referral, don't be scared to go and get somebody to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not silly, because ankle injuries can be pretty serious and they can take you out of high level sport. They can take you out of any level of sport, really, can't they?
Yeah, and it's important to get somebody that's actually interested and experienced in that area.
Okay.
I remember when I was playing football more competitively, I tore my ankle ligaments. And it will live with me forever, but I was put in a plaster cast for 6 weeks.
Ugh.
And there's so many things wrong with that approach. But at the time, it was kind of accepted, like you immobilise and everything will gum up.
Yeah.
Everything did gum up. And you find that your calf wastes, that your ankle gets stiff and painful, and it takes a long time to recover function.
Because you lose all your muscle, really, don't you? You're not using it.
You get profound wasting. In fact, it's not just the muscle gets weaker. The bone density reduces. Your ligaments, even though they're healing, get weaker. So everything is adversely affected by mobilisation.
Because there's no weight on it, so it's not having to work hard.
And it's hard to find an example in the animal world. You know, we can learn a lot from the animal world. Yeah. Immobilisation is not a great thing. Okay. So we've moved away from that. But if you see someone that has an understanding and interest, then it's all about functional recovery. So it's about providing a degree of stability, but encouraging movement, encouraging feedback, balance, etc. And that's most likely to give you a good recovery and also reduce your risk of future injury.
Okay, so you need to be working hard. Again, speak to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Someone like a physiotherapist is maybe one of your best bets, your first person to get in touch with.
Absolutely. Usually very experienced in this area because they see it so often. And they also can pick up very quickly as to whether this is a more serious injury. Should you really be seeing a specialist? Should you be going to see a sports surgeon? Should you be getting an MRI scan? These are the things to consider. Because one sprain you might get away with, two possibly, but as they start to accumulate these injuries, then from a surgical point of view, I know from looking into these ankles that often it results in chipping the joint surface or debris or impingement. So a long-standing instability, and 85% of them, they'll have debris or associated pathology within the ankle joint. Yeah. And that's when they often come for help because it's painful, it's locking, it's giving way on day-to-day basis. But you don't want it to get to that stage. You want to intervene at an earlier point. Okay. And technology allows us to approach it differently.
So see if you are, again, listening into this and you think, I go over my ankle all the time. Like, I roll it or I'm wearing, even if something, as you said, simple as like high heels and you go over in your ankle, or you're playing your netball, you're playing your football and you know you roll your ankle a lot.
Yeah.
Is it one of those things, even without pain, that it might be good to get it checked out to make sure that it's not too damaged right now?
Jennifer, if we do nothing else of any use, this is my strongest bit of advice. I'm always disappointed when I see patients that say, oh yeah, I've just got kind of chocolate ankles, you know, got weak ankles, and I roll all the time. I play five-a-sides every 4 or 6 weeks. It puffs up. I take it easy for 3 or 4 days. It seems to settle, and then I can get back into it. I might use a wee bit of strapping, but I often forget.
Sure.
And I just kick on. But I've got a weak ankle. Ugh. Well, that is a scenario where you really can help. Instability of your ankle is a serious problem and will result in disability. It's just a matter of when.
Okay, so go and get it checked. If you are rolling your ankle regularly, please go and speak to somebody, get it checked.
Yeah, there's too many sportsmen out there that are experiencing the consequences of an arthritic ankle later in life because they haven't really taken it seriously. Yeah. An arthritic ankle means that it's sore when you're driving, when you're just sitting, it disturbs your sleep. So it affects your lifestyle.
Yeah, it's not just your five-a-sides.
Yeah,
your
it's not just a sprain, it's something to take seriously.
How can we avoid ankle injuries then? Mm. Is there any good way to make sure you warmed up, that you've limbered up, any extra protection you can take that you're thinking, I don't want to get to the point where I have to go and see about my ankle?
Yeah, there are certain things you can consider, certainly. It's important that you build up your activity and introduce yourself to sports and activities gradually so that you're getting increasing awareness. You can do preventative drills that improve your feedback and orientation and balance, so that you have an early warning system, so that if you do sprain your ankle in a pivoting or turning or twisting sport, that you have that degree of protection. Because what you really want is when you feel that ankle giving or rolling under, that you might roll with it. So you can protect yourself. And a lot of people are very good at that. They just get a sense. Ah. And if you've got that sense, you protect yourself. And that's the way you're naturally meant to do so.
So see, when you say roll with it, do you mean like casually go into like a sort of James Bond style rolling onto the ground so you're not even letting your ankle go? Yeah. What are you talking about there?
Well, I'm being
a bit dramatic. Yeah,
no. You're not. And actually, I continue to enjoy football. And I think I've almost developed a mechanism to cope with this.
So
when you roll, you sense your ankle rolling. I very rarely ever actually really injure my ankle. But the exception would be, this was just last year, in fact, I was doing some training with some kids and they were doing star jumps, box jumps, in fact, in poor light. And the wind caught a ball that rolled behind me.
Oh, no.
And as I was coming down to land, I actually stood in the ball.
Yeah.
But where I would normally sense my ankle rolling and I would be able to give, the ball prevented it from doing that. And before I knew it, my ankle was underneath me completely.
Ugh.
And that was unpleasant.
I can imagine.
But normally on the ground, you would get the feedback early enough that if you rolled with it, you wouldn't have a serious injury.
Sure.
So it's something I think people, if they work on their proprioception, we call it, and agility drills, they can minimize the risk of ankle injury.
Okay.
Warming up is important, you're right. Appropriate footwear is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
That it matches the surface, such as AstroTurf. Because if there's too much traction, then you're much more likely to roll your ankle. And in terms of footwear, there's an awful lot of variability, even in your running shoes. Some are almost have slight platforms at the heel,
yeah,
you know, for various reasons. But you've got to be careful and make sure that you choose it for the right surface. So if you're running just in pavements, perhaps, you might get away with that. But some old roads have big cambers on them. The surfaces might be uneven or cobbled. And therefore, having a degree of elevation in your heel is not a great strategy.
Okay.
And you're a higher list. Because as soon as your heel's elevated, your ankle's gradually unlocked.
So it's weaker.
It's weaker. Essentially, it's weaker. So these are minor considerations that you can take on board. And it's important to maintain your flexibility as well. Because if your other joints and the links in the chain are moving normally, then there's less strain in your ankle.
Okay.
But say if your knee's stiff or your midfoot's stiff or you've got gout in your big toe, then there's much more likely that something's going to be out of sorts with your ankle.
Okay, so is preventative strapping a good idea? We've spoken about it as if you've got a risk factor or you are feeling a bit weaker. If I'm going out tomorrow, I'm thinking, I'm now very aware of my ankle. I'm just going to strap it in case. Is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea?
Yeah. Normally, if you're uninjured, mm-hmm. it would be nice to work on the preventative strategies that maybe didn't involve strapping as a routine thing. Folk would argue that you get a wee bit dependent on the strapping, and I think that's true.
Yeah.
And then you eventually get to the point where you're not prepared to do without the strapping.
Okay.
So Andy Murray's a good example of that.
He's always got thick strapping.
That's quite a support. But if you were to look at that and analyse that, you might think, well, you're possibly losing a wee bit of range in terms of ankle function.
Right.
So that transfers load onto other joints. So,
sure.
But the dependency's there. You feel safer, feel secure with it, so you're not going to do without it.
No.
So really, I wouldn't be encouraging strapping routinely.
Okay.
But if you have been injured, definitely there's a place during your recovery for strapping and support. And it doesn't have to be heavy strapping. Often a wee bit of light strapping, a bit like a T on the outside of your calf that wraps around like a stirrup under your foot, is quite good because as soon as your ankle starts to roll a little, it tugs in your skin.
Uh-huh.
It's like plucking your hairs.
Yeah.
And that gets your attention.
It does,
So simple strategy can be helpful rather than really rigid taping.
Yeah.
You know, rugby is the worst. They actually like to tape over your boot. So you can continue. So they just do this kind of locking.
Ignore the pain. It's fine.
Yeah, just locking tape and you get back on your boots still on until the end of the game and then it balloons.
Ignoring the pain is surely a bad idea.
Yeah, pain's there for a reason. Always be sensitive to pain. It's a guide. It's there for a reason. So there's no point in toughing it out. There's no prizes for that.
Yeah, but we have mentioned it before. You can almost not feel too much pain. How does that happen? Why can you continue to sort of go through and have ruptured ligaments and almost just not know? Because I feel as if you do something serious, you're going to be like, I'm hobbling for life. Why can you do that?
Well, if the ligament's completely divided and disrupted, often there's not an awful lot of sensation left. So you can have quite an impressive injury, which is agony at the time, feels as if you might have broken your ankle. Then it seems to settle. You get all the swelling and so forth. But as it settles, the ankle's still unstable, but it's not very sore. It's just a bit wobbly. That can settle and be quite deceptive. So you think, well, maybe it's not quite so serious until you do it again.
Okay.
And it's these recurrent episodes. It's often when we have to deal with it surgically. It's often when someone's had one or two bad sprains. And then the third time, they just know they've gone too far. And the reason they've gone too far is their ligaments already been disrupted. The ankle's essentially unstable and they've just taken it out of joint.
And your foot's not really attached to your leg anymore.
It's just dangling. It's just dangling there.
Sounds like something from Halloween, doesn't it? It's awful.
The other thing that people get wrong is the discomfort often comes with this swelling and the restriction of movement.
Sure.
Swelling, anything under pressure causes pain, okay?
Yeah.
So folk try and get the swelling down, but they can get a bit confused. So sometimes they put something for comfort, like a warm pack, that increases the blood flow. Someone else tells them to just go and put your foot up in the bar, have a cold beer.
Yeah.
But as we know, alcohol causes vasodilation. It causes additional swelling.
Right.
So if you're in pain because you've injured your ankle ligaments and you're sitting at a bar having a couple of drinks for comfort.
Don't have a beer.
Not a great strategy.
Okay.
Well, you maybe can have one. Okay.
But take the edge off it, but don't go wild.
I don't want to listen to everything I say. And so a little bit of ice to counteract the first beer.
Sure.
But you've got to be careful because these simple things are counterproductive.
So what is a simple sprain then? What is actually happening physiologically in your body with a sprain? Is it the ligaments going? What happens when you go over in your ankle?
Yeah, it's a kind of warning shot. You're basically bruising the ligaments. So the ligament's still intact in a gross sense looking at it.
Sure.
But the ultrastructure has been disrupted a wee bit. It's been injured enough that it needs to remodel and repair, but it's not been disrupted. So it tends to go from a minor sprain to maybe somewhere in between where it's a partial tear And then you get what we call a grade 3 disruption, where it's a complete tear. And the complete tear, as I say, is particularly important if it goes from the ankle further up your leg, because it can not only disrupt the... It's a bit like a wishbone. If it separates the ligament, which is really strong between the tibia and the fibula, without getting too technical,
it can go
all the way up and even fracture almost near your knee. So you can have a fracture that's often missed if your ankle's x-rayed, because it's up at the top of the fibula.
Oh.
So the energy just sort of tears through between the two bones, strips what's called the interosseous ligaments and snaps at the top. So you have to have a suspicion of that if you're the medic or the one that's assessing this, the sports person, that you can be caught out.
If you do get a serious ligament rupture in your ankle, it is repairable by surgery though. What's the recovery like with that?
Yeah, the recovery's changed an awful lot. And this is an area I actually personally been involved in over the last 10 years. Traditionally, you could try and repair the ligament, which a guy, Brostrom, over 50 years ago came up with. And it's surprisingly effective. But the tissue that is often scarred and of poorer quality, so it needs to be reinforced.
Okay.
You could still repair it, but the tradition was to protect it and mobilize it still for maybe 6 or 8 weeks and then start a slow process of rehabilitation. So that rehabilitation, you'd be nervous that the tissues might stretch and therefore wouldn't be unusual for it to take 4 to 6 months to recover. And if you had a further injury, they might take a tendon from somewhere else and use it as a graft to reinforce. And again, that was an even slower recovery because you're using dead tissue that has to become living tissue. And as tissue, dead tissue becomes living tissue, it gets weaker. So
right.
It can stretch. So you have an even more prolonged recovery. This was another reason why people didn't want ankle ligament
of
surgery.
Of course, yeah.
Because if you were sporty, did you really want the time out? I could just strap it up, cope with it. So everything was encouraging you not to manage it properly. And the results were a bit mixed because the more complex the surgery, the more high risk there is of complication.
Of course.
People can get infections and DVTs and other things. So you can start off with an ankle problem and then have a serious problem. But technology's changed that. So what we've been doing is been working towards a way of allowing your ankle to mobilize normally while the ligament's healing.
Okay.
So you still repair the ligament, but you protect it. And we've been using a wee internal bracing system that allows people to basically walk normally within often a week, 10 days of surgery without the need of a cast or additional protection.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So the wee brace basically provides the same strength as a natural uninjured ligament.
Yeah.
And it's only 2 millimeters in diameter and you're not aware of it, so it's under the skin. So this has allowed us to approach ankle injuries differently. Less downtime, better recovery, better function, and also encourages us to intervene at an earlier stage because it's not such a big deal. You can say, well, your ankle's definitely unstable. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. Perhaps we should intervene a little sooner.
This internal brace wrapped around the ligament, is that how it protects it?
No, it lies like a ribbon that across from the original insertion of the ligament. So it provides a little internal seatbelt that just protects your ankle. So the ligament, once the ligament heals, this internal brace doesn't do anything unless you're at risk of future injury. And then if you're rolling your ankle again, it should kick in exactly like a seatbelt to give you extra protection.
Ah, okay.
It doesn't make you indestructible.
No.
But it does it does help because certain sports, you're at particular risk of ankle injuries, you know, regardless. I think in the US, for example, American football comes first.
Oh, right.
It's followed by basketball.
I was going to say basketball will be high because when you're on a court at moving fast, changing direction, it has a big impact.
Then soccer.
Yep.
As they call it, and then volleyball.
Okay.
And I'm sure netball must be up beside
netball
volleyball.
Netball must be up there, It's definitely another one. Usually at training once a week that I go to, somebody will go over their ankle at least once. Like it happens.
I'll have to give
you
my card.
Not seriously. You can be very busy. But people tend to go down or over, you trip over people's feet, you're moving fast, it's agile, any sort of sport.
Yep.
But as you said, it doesn't need to be at high level sport that you're hurting your ankle.
Yeah.
It's day to day.
Yeah, it's quite sad when someone gets to the end of their career and they come looking for advice and they say, well, actually, your ankle's arthritic. The medical term's gubbed. And therefore, we've got to fuse the joint to relieve the pain, you know? And that means to stiffen it, just fuse it solid.
You never want to hear, I'm sorry, it's gubbed.
Yeah, you don't want an ankle replacement or a fusion.
If
you can avoid it.
Yeah.
You know, it's salvage surgery.
But that's what happens if you do leave it, potentially. Well, if it's a serious injury, there is a risk of it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to scare people into being proactive about their ankle injuries.
I think
it's not trivial. You should take it seriously because if you do, you'll remain active and you'll enjoy your sport.
Yeah, I think to kind of summarize, hopefully if you are listening, you've got an ankle injury or in the future you do get one, The best advice is to get somebody to have a look at it.
Absolutely.
Ankle injuries are not trivial.
Indeed.
And my new favourite acronym, RICE or RICER.
RICE.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. You've got to rest. Good. You've got to ice, you've got to compress, and you've got to elevate, and then get a referral.
Oh, full marks. Yeah, yes! For full marks.
I've been paying attention. But I think that's good advice for people
sound,
if they're listening.
Absolutely sound. Simple, easy to remember, and very, very effective.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Gordon.
No, it's all my pleasure. Thank you.